thank you so much for being a part of our worship this morning of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great way to start this morning by having our kids up here, our teens, everybody as a part of our family Sunday. We were asked to come and bring something to you. Why are children so important to us here at Crosspoint? I was able to find a video that really will give you some insight as to why children are just so important to us here at Crosspoint Church. Fellas.
There is a window. A window you might like to know about. Not the kind that lets you look at the sky. It's a window that opens up inside a child's heart. A window of time. Because over 70% of all decisions for Christ happen during a very precise window, from ages 4 to 14. And those who accept Jesus during this window are more likely to keep the faith. But that's not surprising, is it? Even Jesus said, "Unless you become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So here's a great question. If 70% of all decisions for Christ happen during the 4 to 14 window, why does the average church focus only 3% of its resources there? Remember when the children came to Jesus? His disciples said, "Don't bother the teacher." The disciples looked down, but Jesus knelt down and saw open windows, open hearts, open minds in need of his love. And he said, "Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." In fact, God saw the full potential of children over and over in Scripture. Like David, a simple shepherd boy chosen by God to kill a giant. Samuel, a little boy called in the night to be God's prophet. Miriam, who saved her brother Moses so he could save God's people. And Jesus himself, at age 12, revealing great wisdom to the adults in the room. Where the world sees immaturity or foolishness, God sees open windows, tender, trusting hearts, responsive to his leading. But today's children need our help. Around the world, a billion kids, half of all living children, suffer physical poverty. Meanwhile, children in developed nations live in spiritual poverty. Only 3% see life from a biblical perspective. But we can bring hope. 4 out of 5 kids still hunger for God, and we can help them find him and awaken the heart of belief that God sees in them. Today, we have an amazing opportunity to bring God's love to millions of open windows. Children at home and around the world receptive to the truth. So let's give our very best, where it counts the very most. Let's see children with the same great stature that God does, because the best way to shine light into a dark world is through open windows. Visit 4to14window.com. Win the heart of a child across the street or around the world while the window is still open.
Amen. That 4 to 14 window is why children are so important. We have a small window of time, a small opportunity. And today, tonight, some of our children's ministries are kicking off, and they are there. And I love what Kevin said the first service. So Kevin, tell us why children are important to you.
Well, Trail Life for Boys and American Heritage Girls are a Christ-centered scouting troop, and we come alongside of families to help children develop their godly given gifts and their own personal faith. And we do that through women mentoring girls and men mentoring boys.
Men and women discipling our young people, teaching them the things of God, because we only have a little bit of time to do this, to be the most effective in all of our children's ministries. That's the heartbeat of them. How do we help them grow and become more like Jesus Christ so that when they do become older, they continue down that path of righteousness that Pastor Pencil will be talking about in a few moments. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, it tells us as parents, it's our responsibility as their moms and dads to teach them the Word of God, to write it on the doorposts of their hearts, to talk about the things of God day in and day out, every day, that becomes the focus. And this is what we're trying to do, is to help you, come alongside of you, as Kevin said, to give you the tools as well to help them know Jesus Christ deeper. And I appreciate the opportunity all of our workers do of being able to minister to your children on the Savior's behalf.
Will you give the kids and Jess and the teens and the whole band another round of applause today? I'm Pastor Pencil, pastor of Thrive Student Ministries here at our church. People ask me, why are young people important to the church? And Pastor's going to say this, and I'm going to say it as well. Often you'll hear people say, well, teens are the church of tomorrow. That is a lie. They are the church of the right now. Tonight, it is my privilege. Tonight, I'll begin my 35th year of working with teenagers, my 11th year here as your pastor of student ministries. And people often ask me, they'll say, why does Cross Point Church do so much for our teens? Why do we do that? Well, this is my life verse, and people often look at this and go, that is the strangest verse I've ever seen. Well, it's pencil, so it's a little strange, but follow along with me on this, will you? My life verse is found in Judges. Come on. You might have to move it for me, guys. There we go. Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. After that whole generation had gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Now that's one of those verses that you can read over real fast and you just kind of miss what's happening there. But this is what's happening. Joshua has just died. And the Bible says, after that whole generation, nope, go back, guys. Thank you. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, meaning the generation, Joshua's generation, had died. After they had died, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Now, I look at this, next slide. I look at this and say, what in the world is going on here? The children of Israel have come into the promised land. Now, think about this. This generation that neither knew the Lord, they didn't serve him, and they didn't know him. They didn't know what he had done. Now, think about it. Their parents, some of them, had been alive when the children of Israel escaped Egypt and went through the Red Sea. They saw God crush the most powerful army in the then known earth. When the Red Sea came back, the Egyptians were swept away. That generation saw God's faithfulness as he took care of them and fed them for 40 years in the desert. That generation saw God part the Jordan River in the same way that he had parted the Red Sea 40 years before, and they crossed on dry ground. That generation saw the most fortified city in ancient times fall without firing a shot, without sending off a Scud missile, at the shout of God's people's voice. But yet that generation that followed did not know of what God had done or serve him. Now here's the thing you have to understand. Some of the most recorded history that we have is Jewish history. They were a verbal nation. God told them over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, teach your children and your children's children. So Papa would gather the children at night, and they would share the stories of what God did with Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham and Moses. It was a part of who they were. It was their responsibility. But yet the generation after Joshua did not even know what God had done. Now think about that for a moment. I think about that, and this motivates me. Next slide, please. This motivates me here. We've got to draw a line in the sand. If we think that it can't happen to our generation and it happened to Joshua's, we are head buried in the sand. Man, we got to draw a line in the sand and say, enough is enough. And I'm not going to let it happen on my watch. And I'm so thankful for a pastor that has that same vision and passion. And we have an opportunity to draw a line in the sand and say, it ain't happening at Cross Point Church. Not on my generation. Think about it. The Apostle Paul planted the first church on the European continent. Now, if you think about that, let that resonate with you. Our spiritual livelihood could trace all the way back to there. Think about the link of the chain that shared the gospel with you. Parents, we are going to be held accountable for what we do with our children. You're going to be a spiritual influence in their life one way or another, and we need to draw a line in the sand and say enough's enough. Teens matter. Kids matter. Here's why. Give me the next slide, please. At Thrive Student Ministries, all the things that we do it for this. We want to raise a Psalm 78 generation. Go ahead and give me those first two verses, if you would, guys. Read this with me. Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Next one. Stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. It is our job to pass them down. Next one. He will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Next verse. For he issued the laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. It's our job. Next verse. Here's the good stuff. So the next generation, why? Might know them. Even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. We're passing it on generation after generation after generation because Jesus is the most important thing we can pass on to our children. That's what it's all about. That's why we have programs for teens and for children in our church. Gary and I, collectively, we've got about 116 years of life experience. We joke all the time, we're the world's oldest children's pastor and youth pastor. But you know what? Until God says stop, we're going to keep on keeping on. Because we want this to happen. Go to verse 7. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. And last verse. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. That's a generation we want to raise. We don't want to raise a generation that's failed. We want to raise a generation that knows about God's faithfulness and will take it to their kids and their children's children. That's why we do what we do at Cross Point Church. Will you stand with me as we pray? No, you can sit. You can sit. 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 We'll stand in a minute. Just sit right now. It's sort of like aerobics this morning. You get a workout? Let's pray. God, we are so grateful. We're grateful today for Family Sunday, but God, really, at Cross Point, it's Family Sunday every Sunday. And God, we're so grateful for a pastor that has your heart and God wants to reach the next generation. And we thank you for a congregation, a family, God, that gives us the wherewithal to do what we need to do to reach them. God, we're grateful. We are so thankful for your faithfulness to us today. God, may we be a generation that is raising a generation that's not stubborn, not rebellious, but a generation that's going against our culture and loving you loudly. We ask these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. If you're visiting with us today, what we've been doing since January is, as a church, collectively, we've been memorizing a verse. And you should have got a card when you came in today. If you didn't get one, you can find them by the doors. And if you missed some this summer, I know a lot of folks were out at camp. They're at the Welcome Center. You can pick up the weeks that you missed as well. Today's a very, very familiar verse. But let's take a look at where it says, God so loved the world. Think about that for a moment in the context of where we are today. God so loved the kids, the teens, the adults, everybody, families, right? So when you think of world today, think of that. Say it with me. We know this one, but let's hide this one in our heart. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Let's do it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. All right, your turn. Here we go. John 3:16. For God that he that whoever shall not, but have. Very good. Very, very good. You may be seated. Well, we have a special speaker today. It's Jerry. But he's not live. Well, he is alive. Last I checked, he still had a pulse. But he's not here. He's going to explain to us in just a minute where he is. He had some family commitments. But he thought, you know what? If megachurches can have the pastor on video, why can't I send it? Because he wanted to be a part, and I'm so glad he did, because you will really be challenged by what he has to say today. So as our pastor, the one who gives the vision to all the rest of us, he's going to share with us today on Family Sunday. Please pay attention to Dr. Jerry Meck.
Well, thank you so much for joining us at Cross Point Church today. I just want to say right off the bat that I'm really, really disappointed that I couldn't be here today at church. In our family, I am the one that buries our relatives. I'm the one that marries our relatives. And yesterday in Jefferson City, Missouri, I was called upon to marry one of our nieces in our family, my wife's family. It's actually my wife's niece, but we're very close to them and so forth, just like you might be with your relatives. And so I was asked many months ago to put this on my calendar, and they really wanted me to come and do the wedding. And I've married other nieces and nephews, and so I'm sure there'll be more in the future. But with all that said, I'm just really disappointed, because today launches the Sunday in which everything kind of comes back together. Everybody's kind of back from vacation. The kids are in school now. We begin our Sunday evening services. And so that's why I really wanted to be here today. But we thought we would do something different, as far as I know. And I've been the senior pastor here now for a couple of decades, but I don't remember, with my absence, me actually doing a sermon through video and putting it on the screen. So I just thought today, since it's kind of the kickoff to the fall and into the winter season here at Cross Point, I just wanted to share my heart with you today. And I wanted to be here, and since I couldn't do that, we thought we would just record it and put it on the screen. So today, we'd ask for a little bit of grace from your end, but just kind of relax and listen. And I just pray that what I say today will speak to your heart, that you'll be challenged. If you're a guest today, thank you so much for joining us at Cross Point Church. I'll be back next Sunday, and we'll pick up with our series in the book of Matthew. But today, I want to talk to you about a very important subject. And that has to do with our church in relation to family, the physical family, the spiritual family, the unity, pulling together, why we do what we do. Our mission statement is to bring people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Cross Point Church is all about. And that encompasses a lot. And those are the things that I want to touch on. I'm just so thankful that today our young people, some of the kids, some of the adults could lead us in worship. It's great to have the kids up here in church today. It's great to have them a part of our service doing many things. And it's so important for us as adults to understand and realize that kids and young people aren't the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. And we want to do more at Cross Point Church to get them involved, to train them, to mentor them, to disciple them. We don't want them to get to the place where they're just spectators. And then when they're 18 or 20, they never come back, because they really weren't ingrained in the local church. And the church is for all ages, and we want everybody to play an active part. Well, as we think about this idea of family, there's no question that the family is very important when we look at the Bible. What does the Word of God have to say about family? Well, we see way back in the very beginning in the book of Genesis. In fact, the word Genesis means beginning. And in the very first chapter, verse 28, God tells mankind and everything that he creates to go and multiply, to be fruitful. And man even had dominion over the earth. That's the way God designed it. God designed the earth and everything in it, including the animals, for man. And man had dominion over it. Man was supposed to subdue it. Man was in charge of it. But sadly, we know what happened. Sin entered the world, and everything kind of got mixed up. And so now the earth is actually cursed, and man is cursed because of our sin. And of course, Jesus Christ came and offered salvation to mankind. And so we have an opportunity to restore that fellowship that was broken with God. And one day, the earth will be redone. It'll be refurbished. And so we see that the earth will no longer groan and no longer be cursed, but we're not at that point just quite yet. So we need to understand that this family that God has created from the very beginning is so very, very important. And if it's important to God, we see it clearly enunciated in the Word of God, then it ought to be important to Cross Point Church, because we want to keep the main thing the main thing. We also see something else that I think is important. The first family, Adam and Eve, had two sons initially, Cain and Abel. And many of you might be familiar with the story. We know that Cain killed Abel, and we don't have time to get into all the reasons why, but the bottom line is God was not pleased with his offering, because he was bringing an offering from his hands, in other words, works. And Abel brought the blood of an animal. And so God does not want our works from our hands to please him. In other words, that's not the way to have a relationship with God. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's through the blood in the Old Testament of animals that was slain, that sins were atoned for in the Old Testament, and sins are forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus in the New Testament. And so God was not pleased with that. And so Cain, sadly, horrifically, lashes out at his brother, Abel, and he murders him. And in the first family that God created, which is hard for us to really imagine and grasp, a murder takes place. And then God, as he's talking with his creation, he asks a rhetorical question to Cain. He says, "Where's your brother Abel? Where is he?" Now, God knew where he was, but he wants to hear Cain's response. And Cain's response is this: "Am I my brother's keeper?" It's a rhetorical question by God. This discussion does not necessarily need an answer. We know the answer. Am I my brother's keeper? The implication from that is yes, of course you're your brother's keeper. You're a family. You're a unit. And so we find here that from the very beginning, that God has designed us to be in fellowship, to love one another, to be in unity, to be what we call familial, family, relationship. God did not create us to be an island unto ourselves. We should be involved in something bigger than ourselves as an individual. And so God designed the family unit, a mother, a father, children, as they raise their children, as the New Testament tells us, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, an instruction to nurture them and to instruct them in righteousness. The Bible, if we look at it, we see things in the Old Testament that help us understand this. For example, if you were to go to places in different parts of the world today, in the Eastern culture, not so much in the Western culture, but in Bible times, and even to a certain degree, even now, we see that the family unit is much more what we would call grouped. The West is so much individualized. For example, today in our culture, for the most part, and in the Western world, people get married and they leave the house, they buy their own house. Sometimes they'll move across the country, they'll move across town. But in many places of the world today, and especially in the Old Testament, in the time of Jesus, that they would just add on to the current house. Or if the house was big enough, that new family would just take up a bedroom. In other words, the family unit was not individualized. It was more communal. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. We're just trying to make the point that the family community-wise, there's something positive about that. We can argue till the cows come home whether that should be the case today or not be the case today. We're simply looking at history and seeing how the family first began to operate and how it still continues to operate in many places around the world even today. We look at the Old Testament still once again, and we see the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament that are very clear enunciated for us in the book of Exodus and redone again in the book of Deuteronomy for us. That word means the second law, the book of Deuteronomy. And we see a couple of commandments out of the ten. So two of the Ten Commandments deal directly with the family. The first one is the fifth commandment. And it talks about that we ought to honor our father and mothers. And then we find the seventh commandment that we should not commit adultery. Why? Because it has a tendency to bring a lot of harm into the family. God knew that. Obviously, God created mankind. He understands that. And so God says right off the bat, look, for the family unit to really work well, everybody has to work together. Children need to honor their parents. Parents need to be faithful to one another and honor each other as husband and wife. And we see from these Ten Commandments and through even these two of the Ten Commandments, everything else springs from that. And I think all of us would agree, if the family is healthy, I'll tell you what, life is a lot easier, isn't it, church? If the family is struggling, if there's upheaval in the family, it has a tendency to spill out into every area of our lives. We are not as happy. Many times we are not as healthy. We do not have the same relationships. It kind of brings a dark cloud over us until we get that part of our family fixed. It could be a husband-wife relationship. It could be parents, obviously, with their children. It could be a lot, a myriad of things. But the reality of it is we see the importance of the family unit working together, all going in the same direction. Now, as we look at the New Testament, we also see the importance of the family in the New Testament, without question. Jesus talked about the importance, not only of the physical family, but of the spiritual family. So we've already looked at, just for a brief few moments, the importance of the physical family, the love that a family needs to have, the communal connection that the family needs to have, whether or not they live in the same house or not, that's not the issue. But there's an ongoing working relationship. And then Jesus comes along and he talks about another family, not to trump or to mitigate the first one or to overshadow it, but he adds another family. It's the family of God. In fact, there's a great example in the New Testament. In the book of Matthew, And his family, his mother and some of his siblings are there, and they want to see Jesus. And so someone comes to Jesus, and one of the disciples comes to Jesus, and they say, hey, your family's here, and they want to talk to you. And Jesus, at this particular time, he's doing ministry, and he says something that is foundational for all of us to fully grasp. And it's so important that we understand it. He says this, the person who does the will of the Father is my family. Wow, what a statement from Jesus Christ. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and he says, my mother. What's Jesus saying? Is he dismissing the biological family? Of course not. That's not at all what he's saying. He's simply saying that there's another family. And the reality of it is, and some of you could even give testimony to this, your spiritual family might be closer than your physical family. And Jesus implicates for us that ultimately the family that is the most important, because it's the family that connects with God for all eternity. It's that family that's here on earth to help spread the gospel, to reach men and women, boys and girls with the eternal message, is the spiritual family. And the spiritual family obviously is made up of every single one of you that are in church today, those of you that are watching by live stream, obviously. And it doesn't necessarily mean just in the building. It's the church of God. And so we have the universal church of God. That's all the believers everywhere in the world. And then we have local churches, which is Cross Point Church and many other churches in the Bangor area. And God wants us to be part of the universal church. That gets us into heaven by putting our faith and trust in Christ. We're baptized into Christ. We become part of the body of Christ. And then we use our gifts, our talents. We have connection. We have unity. We work together in the local church to represent the universal church to carry out the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. And so the local church is very, very important. The universal church is very, very important. And both of these working together in unison, carrying out, using our gifts and talents that God has given us to reach the world for Jesus Christ. We need to be born spiritually. Of the two births, of the two families, being born physically, obviously, you wouldn't be listening if you weren't born physically, and if I wasn't born physically, I wouldn't be teaching. But the reality of it is the most important birth is not the physical birth, but it is by far, without question, the spiritual birth. And that's why the mission of Cross Point is to bring people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, to share the message of Jesus, to allow people the opportunity to be born into the family of God. I mean, you remember John chapter 3, and Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. You must be born from above. And you can have the greatest physical family on earth. You could all get along, have a happy life, but the reality of it is, it's that spiritual birth and being part of the spiritual family of God that ultimately will give you eternal life. You know, oftentimes I'm asked, and we talk about in general, and sometimes I'm not even asked, it just kind of comes up. Why do churches seem to spend so much time in dealing with family? I mean, if you look at pretty much all churches, I mean, there are some that, when I say all, the majority, there are some that are driven for just certain populations, maybe on a college campus. Obviously, that'd be driven to single adults, for example. But by and large, all churches seem to gear to minister to the whole family. Why is that? Have you ever thought about that? Well, it's because the family is the bedrock. The family is the foundation of society. I mean, you can't have a society of all single people. Why not? Well, because they die out one generation, right? We all know that. That's common sense. So the family is the bedrock. It's the foundation of culture. It's where children can come and learn and grow and be taught and be discipled and be mentored into teens and teens into adults. And the cycle just continues to go over and over again. Well, the family not only is crucial that way, but it keeps the church moving. We must have an ongoing, multi-generational church to make it happen. We need the elderly to share and mentor the younger. We need young people to sit and listen to those that have been married for 50 years. How did you do it? A lot of couples today, they're screaming. You know, after 5 years or 10 years, I mean, their marriages, they're struggling. How did you guys stay married for 20 years or 40 years or 60 years? We've got numerous families in our church that have been married over 50 and 60 years. It's a wonderful thing. They can be great examples to the young people. We need young people to see elderly people with a smile on their face and carrying their Bibles and coming to church and singing about God. They need to see the faithfulness. And, you know, I would just encourage folks that if you want to describe yourself as older, that's fine. I won't give an age. But I just want you to know just by your presence, you're an inspiration to people. Whether they're teenagers, whether they're kids, whether they're young adults. And they look and they say, wow, I hope when I'm that age that I'm still faithful to church. That I'm still involved in serving God and using my gifts. That is just so very, very important. And then the church allows people to use their gifts, to be able to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, God has given us gifts. I mean, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians that God has given everybody at least one spiritual gift. And we need to use that gift in the church and use that gift out in the community to bring people to Jesus. That is the focal point of Cross Point Church. And I want to reiterate again, our heart at Cross Point is that the whole family is important. Yes, whether you're married, whether you're single, it doesn't matter. You're part of the family of God. The family is crucial for the ongoing propitiation of the church. If it was just a church of everybody over 70, it's going to be gone in 10 to 20 years. It's over. So we have to have young people coming in. We have to challenge them. We have to create an environment where they want to come to church. They want to hear about God. They want to sing the songs. They want to be in a place in their life spiritually one day where they can look back and say, thank God we were part of a church that saw the big picture. And that's why we do everything we can to minister to the entire family. When we look at our church, just the things we saw this morning, you know, we look at Sunday morning and we have Upstreet for kids during church where they can go and they can sing and they can be with people their own age and where the teachers can break down the Bible where they can understand it. Not in big church sometimes where I might be speaking over their heads, but the reality of it is they break it down where they can chew on it, where they can really swallow it and they can leave and they say, okay, I've learned something today. So we have Upstreet during church. We have Kidmo for kids during the 9:30 hour, and kids will go there. We also have other things for kids, like tonight, for example, that you've already heard about. You know, we have the kind of the Christian Boy Scout, Girl Scout thing going on tonight. We have teens tonight down in the Trudy Wilson Thrive Center. So we have all kinds of things for young people where they might get connected. Connect them to the church, the house of God. So very important as families. We have activities through the year that is so important for children. Things like Vacation Bible School, for example. Trunk or Treat is another one. We have movie nights with the kids. I mean, we do all kinds of things with our kids to connect them to the body of Christ, to make the church the center, or at least a big part of their life, where they do life, where that becomes their community. And when they get older, that will become the community for them, and that will become the community for their children. And I would encourage parents to think about these things that I'm sharing with you today. Things just don't happen by chance. We have to be intentional when it comes to some of these things. We have all kinds of things, not only for the kids, but for the teenagers as well. Sunday morning, they have their own class at 9:30. Sunday night, they have their own worship service. Wednesday night, they have youth groups. They do mission trips. They feed the homeless. You know, they are very active. And we want to make sure that we have a platform for them where they can give back, where they can be involved, where they can feel like they're a part of the church because they are a part of the church. For adults, 9:30, we have adult Bible fellowships. We have Sunday night. We have all kinds of electives. You've heard about them already before I began speaking this morning. All kinds of things. I mean, tonight we have many electives that people could come and learn. We have prayer and praise in the auditorium. So there are many opportunities for adults. We have Monday night, a men's discipleship group. Wednesday night, we have Serenity Recovery Group. Monday night, we have Bridges that helps people in recovery, just like Serenity does. So we have a lot of programs for adults to help them grow in the Word, to help them recover in areas of their life in which they've struggled, or they may continue to struggle, or they don't want to not fall back in to certain struggles. So we're doing everything we can to minister to the entire family. Now we have a class that starts today, Christianity 101, where people can go and they can learn for about 9 to 12 weeks the basic tenets of the Bible about Christianity. You know, if somebody were to corner you and say, tell me about Christianity, what would you say? And I would encourage anybody, whether you've been in our church for 2 weeks or 25 years, if you really want to learn and you say, I really could learn a little bit more, go to the class with Pastor Adam. It'll be a blessing. It's going on right now at 11 o'clock. If you're watching this at 9:30, you still can do that today. But the point is this, in order for you to grow, and in order for your children to grow, and for them and you to grasp onto the teachings of Jesus, you must make an intentional plan. It doesn't happen by chance. Put that in your brain. Our church is involved. Outreach in the community. Things like the Mansion Church, helping people that are really struggling, helping them to hear the gospel and to help them grow. Feeding the homeless at Columbia Street, having a presence at the canoe race or at Alex's Lemonade or at the recent cancer walk or at the parade during Christmas time. These are all ways in which we go out into the community and we say, we love Bangor and the surrounding towns, and we do. And we have a touch. And when they get to the place in their life, when they are looking for Christ or they're looking for spiritual help, or for whatever reason, they just feel, you know, we really need to get back to church. Maybe Cross Point will cross their mind and they will come and they will visit and they can become a part of our church. And we would love that to happen. So I just want to say I'm so thankful that you are here today. God bless you. I love you. I hope you were blessed by the people that shared some of their ministries before I spoke this morning, and that you would just take what they said to heart. So important for us to reach our kids and teens when they're young, because once they get older, it's almost impossible. The greatest time to reach young people, according to the surveys, is what we call the window, the 4-14 window. By the age of what? 4 and 14. Between the ages of 4 and 14. Well, my alarm has gone off, which tells me I need to be quiet. I need to shut down. But I want you to know I am so glad that you are here today. And I am so disappointed that I couldn't be with you today live. But I hope that you've been blessed by this challenge of unity, of family, as physical families, spiritual families coming together to carry out the Great Commission, because that's what Jesus challenged us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to teach them, to help them to become Christ-like, to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. God bless you, and now we're just going to have a short time of prayer together, and I trust that if God has spoken to you, that you would take that challenge and be faithful and obedient to Him, what He's calling you to do.